And I'd like us to just look briefly at a few Bible truths this morning. You can turn, first of all, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we'll just take our remaining time here to look at the Word of God, and I trust be challenged. We all need a good challenge according to the truth of God's Word, myself included, and we all need encouragement. And I know that I am speaking here today to a church that is filled with many people that already know what I'm going to be mentioning here from the Bible, because many of you read your Bible through and you study the Word of God. You come here regularly and hear the Word of God preached. And so, of course, the Word of God, though, is living. It is alive. It is powerful. And we can read the same verse. And, of course, it has the truth never changes, but God can use it in new and fresh ways in our heart as we continue on the journey of faith through this life, this little vapor of a life that God tells us about here. And in the book of James, I should say. But here in Matthew chapter 9, I would like us to start off by looking this morning briefly at four responsibilities that you and I have according to the Scripture. Four responsibilities. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world around us, and people love to kind of flock together and go, you know, maybe watch a favorite sports team, or, you know, maybe a group of people that'll gather for a parade. And, you know, it's just normal and natural for us to gather and kind of jump in on different programs and participate in that. But there is a great eternal program that you need to make sure that you are in on. And I would love for us to look at that this morning and see this great program that you and I, whether you're an adult, whether you're a teenager, a child, whatever age you are, whatever background of life, God would love for you to be in on this program and excited about it, understanding it, learning more about it, and participating in it. And I know that many of you do that. So I just wanted this to be an encouragement to you in that, as many of you are already involved in this, but maybe there's some here that maybe you're new to this church and this might be something that's sort of new. What is this big program, this big operation that God is doing, and how can I jump in on it and be a part of this exciting thing? It'll far outlast any sports programs. It'll far outlast any education programs. It is the program of programs, and that is the program of missions for this world. Seeing this lost and dying world, recognizing their need, the condemnation that we are heading toward, and then recognizing the great risen Savior and the free gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ, is still looking to transform lives and to use you and me as believers to see that work accomplished. So notice, first of all, here this morning, four mandates that I would like us to see. And as I use that word mandates, you know, ever since 2020, maybe that's kind of more of a scary word to use. All right, this is a great privilege as well. All right, it is a mandate. It is a command of our Savior. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we love to know his blessed commands, really, because that is the way of life. That is the way of blessing, and that is the way of purpose and eternal joy in life. When we come to know Christ as Savior, make that decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then participate in what he has for me as a believer, as a personal disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow him. So here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, we find, first of all, the mandate of praying. Praying. Are you participating in praying for missions? And let's just look at verse 37. Then saith he, Jesus, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but there's a problem. The laborers are few. There's this huge harvest of souls. No doubt he's talking about souls here. I mean, that's what moved Christ with compassion more than anything, was when a multitude of people would gather around and he'd see right into their hearts and the lost condition. And his disciples in their haste would, oh, let's send them away, Lord, it's been a long day. Or, you know, we're hungry, we got to go eat, let's get rid of this big crowd here. Jesus would never get rid of the crowd. He'd never run away from them. He was always ready to do something because that's what moved his heart. He had compassion for them. Verse 38, Jesus mentions the big problem. There's this huge, incredible harvest ready in souls all over the planet, wherever they are, and the laborers are few. Verse 38, here's the solution. Pray, therefore. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So I urge you here this morning as we see this first mandate, that whatever age you're at, if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, pray for God to send forth laborers into his harvest. That ought to be one of the top prayer requests in our prayer life as a believer. Lord, send forth more laborers. And of course, how can we pray for that without being willing to let God use us as one of those laborers, right? So pray for God to use you as a laborer. Pray for missionaries. I praise God for a church like this that has such a strong connection with missionaries. We were so blessed when we came to that missions conference. Was it 2016? And just getting a feel for the heartbeat of this church and your pastors here that are leading in that. And that is so wonderful. It's biblical. It's exactly what God wants. And like I said, if maybe you're new to this church or something, find out more about that. Come and talk to one of them so you can find out how you can be getting in on this great program. But Jesus calls upon us as the solution for this huge harvest, ready to be harvested. We don't want it wasted. Get the laborers out there. The laborers are few, and there's so much we could talk about there. But pray for God to use you. Pray for missionaries. Pray for specific souls that you know to be one to Christ, that their eyes would be open. We had the privilege of, even just yesterday, meeting up with Christina's grandmother at a nursing home where she's living currently at age 96. And we went in there with one of those gospel tracts, how to be 100% sure of sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And boy, she's a wonderful lady, just loves her family more than anything. She's so glad that we're back from Africa. She doesn't understand the great mission, really, that we're on. But she loves us. And we walked into her room yesterday, and Andrew was able to give her one of our new prayer cards and one of those gospel tracts. And sadly, one of her first responses was, I don't believe in hell. Well, it didn't say anything about hell on there. It only said something about heaven. But that was the first thing on her mind. She had to, I think, try to convince herself, maybe. But age 96, pray for Lois that she would turn to Christ as she's totally near the end of her life. But souls around us, pray for God to send more laborers. So we see this wonderful missions mandate of praying. We notice, secondly, the mandate of giving. Turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And as I mentioned this, of course, you know, we certainly appreciate greatly all of those of you who give toward the work of missions to help make it possible for us to be able to do what we do there in Kenya. But it goes all the way back to the early New Testament church here. The Apostle Paul was writing this letter, this epistle, to the local saved, baptized members of the church at Philippi. And look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says to them, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So he was commending them on that. Thank you for thinking of the fact that, you know, I do have to have money to buy some food, and I'd have to have money to travel and have a roof over my head, basically, the Apostle Paul is saying. And verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift." Here's the verse Pastor mentioned earlier, "but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Fruit that can be put in store in your heavenly bank account. Isn't that good to know? No thieves can break in and steal that. Nothing can corrupt it. None of that can be taken away. You can lay up treasure, investment that will count for eternity. I hope we're most concerned about that investment in this life on earth. And yes, we have to be wise and careful with our investments, but we're going to pass off this planet before too long. Life is a vapor. It goes by fast. So don't lay up all the treasure. Take care of what you need to do. Apply wisdom. But don't make the top priority the investments of this little vapor of life on the planet here. Make the investments in heaven, your heavenly bank account, by faith. So we've seen praying. We've seen giving, two very important parts of this mission, program, operation of Almighty God. Notice thirdly, the operation of sending missionaries. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Sorry to keep you turning so much, but just this and one more passage. But Acts chapter 13. Notice here in Acts chapter 13, the apostle Paul and Barnabas were actively busy in the New Testament church there in Antioch when the Holy Spirit of God pricked their heart and prompted them to go out. And God convinced that New Testament church as well. You know, as missionaries, we're not out there just freelancing. We are under and so thankful to be under the sending authority, in a sense, of Mukwonago Baptist Church, the church that I grew up in. And that's our sending church. And we have churches like this that are partnering together with us in financially, the financial aspects, and in prayer, and in such encouragement to be faithfully continuing in the work of God. So notice here, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Here was a New Testament church filled with saved, baptized members of the church that were busy doing the work of God. And as they were busy, as they were in motion, so to speak, sort of like a car going down the road, when it's moving, you can just turn that wheel very gently and the car goes right where you want it. If it's parked or moving 1 mile an hour, it's like you're cranking the wheel to get it to move. But same in the work of God. As we're moving forward, just busy doing what we know God wants us to do, God can then send us forth. He can say, okay, this is a tried, true servant of God, you know, that is ready to go. And I'm not saying that it isn't important to, you know, it's not just the people that are sent to foreign countries that are it's talking about here, you know. It's important that we see they were all ministering together. They were all busy in the work there in Antioch. And I encourage you, be busy here in the work in Birmingham. God is just as much concerned about souls around this community and about this church and sending forth laborers from here and helping others to be sent forth like you're doing. You know, he's so concerned about that even today. He never changes. And this is his program until the return of Christ. So we've seen praying, giving, sending, and last of all, going. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll conclude with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, not only helping, you know, praying for other people, not only giving to help in that work, and all of us, I include myself in that, we all need to be participating in that, but also sending forth and then being willing to go. And that doesn't just mean across the ocean. That doesn't just mean to a foreign country. That means across the aisle at work. That means across the street to your neighbor, as you're looking for opportunities to give the gospel and win people to Christ. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The apostle Paul here again in another letter, the church at Corinth, says, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. And he's sharing his heart, his passion here of going out to the lost. God called me, he says, and I've gone, I'm going. But if it weren't for good churches like this, where God's people are partner coming together, hearing the word of God, growing together, involved in the outreach right here in and through this church, then we wouldn't be able to partner with churches like this, okay? So there may be some in here that God would send forth to a foreign country, but all of us are either foreign missionaries or domestic missionaries, right? It is the Great Commission, and we are co-missioned with the almighty, life-transforming Savior, Jesus Christ. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us to the end of this age. And so let's remember that. He is just as excited about using you today to get the gospel out this week and in weeks ahead and every day that we have breath. He's just as excited about you praying and laboring in prayer. Remember, that was the great solution Jesus said right away. Laborers are few. Pray. Pray. Giving, sending, and going. And may we be involved in that. And if you have more questions about that, maybe it's the first time that you might have heard something like that, come and talk to the leadership of this church. They'd be happy to help you know how you could be more engaged in the wonderful program of God through missions at this church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for your living word. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, who works like a hand in a perfectly fit glove, just right together with the word of God, and works in our hearts to prick us and to move us and to mold us and strengthen us. We pray for abundant blessing in the days ahead upon your people here, Lord, as they seek to continue and take steps forward in the great program of missions that you have for us. Thank you, God. We look to you to do exceeding abundantly great things in the days ahead as we look to your almighty hand. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.